out like a gentleman. Oh, yes, hello.
We're going to sex.
I'm a bad bitch!
I need to get drunk. This is fucking horseshit.
Goodbye to the people who love me.
Something about you, girl.
If you're not suffering, you're not learning.
That's it, bro.
Suffering means everything.
Do me a favor. Take a knife, stab yourself in it. I'm just kidding.
You invite me to your house, and then you fucking put a gun to my face.
Yep.
Make funny words happen now.
Make me laugh, funny man. So, Eric.
Yes, Tim.
A lot of things to talk about.
Dude, so much.
The first thing I wanted to kind of talk to you about was you are a big fan of Denis Villeneuve.
Yes.
The director of Blade Runner 2049, now Dune, amongst other things. He has since joined the fray against the Marvel movies, saying that they feel too much cut and paste. What is your feelings on what Mr. Villeneuve said?
I gave that a lot of thought. Actually, I wanted to pull up the exact quote and read it while recording. So while we were talking and preparing, I brought it up. And he said the following. Perhaps the problem is that we are in front of too many Marvel movies that are nothing more than a cut and paste of others. Perhaps these types of movies have turned us into zombies a bit. But big and expensive movies of great value, there are many today. I don't feel capable of being pessimistic at all. Just think of the golden age of Hollywood to see that commercial films can make a different artistic proposal, therefore political. I've never felt like a loss or impediment to have a generous budget to do what I wanted to do. Upside down, this guy's very French. His English is like all over the place.
Yeah.
Who said that a movie on a big budget can't be artistically relevant? At the same time, I am currently thinking of people like Christopher Nolan or Alfonso Cuarón. Yeah, this is true.
Great directors.
Great directors. I don't know. I don't think it was ill will towards Marvel. Maybe Scorsese's was a little bit more hardcore.
Scorsese's was definitely more harsh. But Scorsese was just like, yeah, these movies are fucking straight trash, kid. Get good, son.
But see, if I'm Kevin Feige, I'd be the kind of guy like, hey, what if we get Scorsese to direct the Punisher movie? That's what I would do.
Right.
Just to fuck with people. But that's not, I'm not in charge. But I think he has a point. I think this phase of MCU is clearly the weakest because they're trying to find a new thing to build towards.
Yeah.
They spent, you know, what, 15 years building towards the Infinity War, the Infinity Saga. Now you have to start towards something else that's going to take time finding your footing and like.
Yeah, and you've lost, I mean, you've lost, unfortunately, you've lost Chadwick. Great talent. Black Panther was one of the best fucking movies in that series by far.
I think it, yeah, it's one of the ones that I am able to watch repeat. Like, a lot of the Marvel movies I could watch once and it's like, got it.
Mm.
Which has something to do with that cut and paste thing.
Mm.
Like Ant-Man and the Wasp. I remember that movie very like vaguely. Like there was like the ghost lady that could like vibrate through walls. That, yeah, the vibrating lady. Like that's what I got from that movie. But a lot of it is kind of like in the fog now. A lot of it is. So I think that has to do with, you know, when you're in that cycle, it's like it becomes a meat grinder. You just start pushing the shit out. You lose kind of identity. So I'm not against the idea of them like taking 2 or 3 years per movie. Like, space this shit out.
Right.
We don't need 5 movies a year. Honestly, we don't.
Right.
We never really did. We were just lucky to like, yeah, fuck it, I'll take it. But now, you don't have to top Infinity War. You can't, you won't.
Ever.
So just try to do something newer that's cool as fuck. How do you do that? Good writing, good characters, and good character building. So WandaVision was a step in the right direction. Loki was a step in the right direction. But the movies, I don't know what they're building towards yet. We don't know. Maybe nothing.
WandaVision, like after going through WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Loki, WandaVision to me is still the top. It was just so well written and so... WandaVision was just like a mind fuck within a show, and it was like this weird... Like, even when I went back and I watched the first two episodes Thursday... And, like, the first time I watched it, it was, like, this weird, like, trippy thing. Like, now that you go back through and you, like, understand what happens in the show, you pick up on things. And, like, you can go back through and, like, pick up on things that you didn't pick up on before.
Yeah.
Loki was good just because Hiddleston is just a great actor by himself. Him and Owen Wilson have really good chemistry on that show, in my opinion. So do he and the actress that plays Sylvie. You probably know who that is. I do not, off the top of my head.
Her name escapes me.
Yeah. But they have good chemistry. To me, and you and I have talked about this before, and I'm sure this is not going to be, you know, this is going to be derisive or controversial, but to me, Falcon and Winter Soldier, I don't feel that between Bucky and Falcon. I just don't feel... that chemistry. And I get, like, they try and do, like... It's almost like a buddy cop show between the two of them. And it just doesn't... It doesn't work for me. And the villain was just annoying. She wasn't... To me, she wasn't... menacing or anything at all. She was just annoying. It wasn't, like... Even in, like, the worst Marvel movies, like, if you want to, like, say, like, worst Marvel movies, like, The Dark World or Iron Man 2 or something like that, like, those kind of movies, at least, especially, I mean, I'll use Iron Man 2, at least with Iron Man 2, Ivan, you felt kind of bad for him because Howard Stark did fuck his dad over. He did. And there was a reason why you felt bad. In fucking Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's like, yeah, our people are being, like, oppressed and shit, and we're just gonna fucking murder everybody.
Yes. To liberate our people. Because we're not terrorists, we're liberators.
Yeah.
We're gonna start by murdering a bunch of people. Great. I'm 15 and I know, like, 8 different styles of kung fu.
Yeah. It was just, to me, like, it started off, like, it had promise in the first episode, and then while the show went on, it just, to me, just dive-bombed. It just went super far down.
I was very fascinated with John Walker's part.
Yes.
Like, he kind of carried that show. For me, John Walker carried that show.
Yeah. The only two interesting characters in that show were him and Zemo.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, they kind of played like handball, like, yeah, we're running this shit. Because for me, there was easily, during the part when John Walker is like, sort of like, stripped of the title. Spoilers, fuck.
Yeah. Kevin Smith.
Fuck, spoilers. They strip him of Captain America's, you know, the title. I'm sitting there watching like, I 1,000% would have fucking did the exact same thing.
Right. And, like, you know, I was messaging you while I was watching the show. Like, watching his, like, quote-unquote redemption arc.
Which was well done.
Yeah, which was well done. You know, he gets back to America. And, honestly, you know what? You know who else I left out? Julia Louis-Dreyfus comes into the fucking show and just completely steals the shit.
As Valentina, yeah.
Yeah. Who are you with? That's not important. Just, I work for somebody, and they're interested in you. And it was just like, this cloak and dagger shit, but the John Walker angle, and the Zemo angle, to me, were the only interesting parts of that show. It became way too politically motivated, and I know Denis talked about that in his little, whatever you want to call it.
It's a quote. It's not a diatribe. It's a very like measured response. Yeah. Because the dude is not gonna trash on those movies. Because there's, I would say, at least 70% of those movies, the Marvel movies and shows, are genuinely good, well written, compared to other shit that's out there.
Yeah.
Focused. Films and TV shows.
And I'm not saying that, you know, like Anthony Mackie or I can never... Sebastian Stan is who plays Bucky, right?
Yes.
Not saying they're not good actors, because they are. But I don't feel... Like watching WandaVision, watching Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany together, great on-screen chemistry there. Like I said, one of the best scenes in that show for me is when Vision starts figuring out what's happening.
Big time.
And he confronts Wanda, and they're in the living room, and they're both, like, getting ready to just go at each other, and they're both, like, levitating. And it's like, even thinking about it now, like, goosebumps.
I think, you know what? In a lot of ways, the MCU Phase 1 through 3 was about them doing a modernized retelling of classic Marvel tales.
Yeah.
Now, they're pulling from stuff that's more modern, more recent. So, watching them experiment with trying to jazz that up is interesting because you see, like, failed experiments happening, like right. Falcon. Because in the Civil War comic, Cap gets headshot and Falcon takes up the mantle. So they have to basically tell that story in their own way. And there's like growing pains. You can see it on the screen. Like, how do we explain this to where we get to the big iconic moment? You got to go through some shit that you kind of painted yourself into a corner with.
Right.
I could feel that a lot watching that show. I still respect, you know, everybody putting in work. And like Anthony, basically the idea of like, you know, the black man being the new Captain America and what that means and what that title, you know, the history of America and, like, kind of burdening that, but, like, bringing it to the future. Like, I'm on board 100%.
Right.
You could have done that with him just putting that suit on and just fucking people up. You don't have to have a five-minute scene of, like, do better, 70-year-old business suit man. Like, just Anthony, like... Fist bumping John Walker. What's up, old man in the audience? Punch these dudes. Like, you got it. Like, I get it. Like, you know, you don't have to, like, you're hammering it too far. Like, the nail's already in. Like, you're good. I got it.
Well, and I've talked to you about this, and I just thought that, like, the end, especially the end of that show, was a bit heavy-handed for me. You know, you went through the show, and you're talking about, like, you know, like, I forget the guy's name that he talks to, the older black guy. The one that was a former super soldier.
Oh, Isaiah Bradley.
Thank you. Like, you talk to him, and like the guy's like, yeah, you're black. They're never going to let you be Captain America. Ever.
Straight up, he says that.
Yeah. You're black. They're never going to let you be Captain America. They'll use you until you're done. They're done with you. Like they did with me. And he's like, as soon as they were done with me, they threw me in prison.
Yep.
And, like, I thought that was cool. I'm like, that's okay.
That's real.
That's good story.
That's real as fuck. Then, the way they flip it at the end, when he gets to see himself in the museum, that's how you win the people.
Right.
That's, you don't have to have a speech. If you took out that speech.
That's what I'm saying.
Cut to the museum.
Yep.
All their bloggers have been like, A+.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, but you had that big, heavy-handed monologue at the end with Mackie talking to the police and like, I'm black and black and you black. It was like, dude, it was like watching a Martin Lawrence freaking sketch from the 80s.
I was not expecting that tonight.
I mean, I just, and don't get me wrong. I mean, Eric, you and I have known each other for over a decade. And you know I'm not racist, and I'm not just saying that because I'm white, but I'm not racist. And even if it was like, I'm white. You don't need to keep hammering that fucking point home. We get it. We can see you. We understand your struggle.
I think that, too, was the issue that people had with Loki, was because you have, like, this definitely ties back into Marvel trying to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Hiring writers that are younger, more ideological or ideology-based in their fiction. Yeah. And that's the thing that's interesting, because if your fiction is ideology based, it's almost a form of propaganda.
Yeah.
Whether it's in your mind positive or not, it's still technically propaganda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me, we grew up on fiction that was like the mob. Dirty New York, Chicago.
Let's go.
Like corruption. Don't do too much of the right thing. It's going to bite your ass in the end. Like, that's the kind of fiction that we're used to, where it blurs the lines of reality.
Right.
But you can have a happy ending, but you can't just, like, everybody do better. Like, I'll laugh in your fucking face.
Who was it that wrote, like, Casino and all that? Was that Pleggy? Nicholas Pleggy?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Like, that shit, like, you talk about, like, Goodfellas, Casino, that kind of stuff. That was, like, me growing up. Cinematic masterpiece, fantastic. But like, no, I get entirely what you're saying. And like, Loki people shit on too much because they say that he simps out to Sylvie.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I never got that feeling. And like, it bothers me when people are like, you know, they're hiring a lady to be the new 007, or they're hiring Phoebe Waller-Bridge to be in Indiana Jones. I'm like, look, you haven't seen the movie yet.
You can't gender swap, Eric.
No, hold on. The idea of James Bond disappearing for like 5 years so they just get another spy to be 007 was... Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let it happen. It's fine. But the movie hasn't happened yet. Until I see a movie when she's like pissing in James Bond's face... You can't say anything yet. You can't say it yet. You haven't seen it.
If they make
yet.
That movie, I'm throwing my wallet.
Lashana Lynch is cute. I'm like, yeah, if you're peeing on James Bond, I'll go watch that. Daniel Craig's like, all right, fuck it. All right. But like, you know what I mean? Like, you still haven't seen it yet. So you can't give me a 45-minute YouTube. And sometimes 5-hour like live streams of just people shitting on, like, you gotta let them tell their story before you have the right to critique it. You gotta let them cook first.
Right.
So, I'll watch the James Bond shit. I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Fleabag was a bad as fuck show. I watched Indiana Jones and fucking... I think she did some script doctoring for No Time to Die, which is the 007 shit too. So, I'll watch it, and if it's bad, then it's bad.
Yeah, the only movie I ever did that with was... When Fox remade Rocky Horror Picture Show. Never should have done that. Leave that fucking movie alone. And then they hired a woman to play Frankenfurter, and it's like, it's not the same. You guys don't get it. What made it so edgy for back in the time, because that movie was made back in the 70s.
Yes.
And what made it so edgy back then is Tim Curry... in a full-on fucking corset with fucking garters, fucking...
I thought it was a lady at first. Like, I was like, oh, that's Tim Curry? He's fucking hot. That, like, I think, you know, maybe that, like, that inspired that, like, you know, am I gay? No. I don't think I'm gay. But Tim Curry is pretty hot right now.
I'm not gay, but I sometimes like penis. Anyway.
Sometimes.
But, like, that's what made it so risque and so, like, interesting back in the day was, like, you didn't really see... I mean, sometimes you would see shit like that. Like, I think Victor Victoria came out, I think, after that.
I think so, yes.
Tootsie, that kind of stuff was becoming more acceptable after Rocky Horror. Like, Tim Curry kind of, like, paved the way for that kind of shit. Or even if you want to go farther back than that, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert kind of stuff. But as a in reference to gender swapping some of these roles, I really don't care. All I care about is that you do a good fucking job. Because I don't give a fuck if you're a man, woman, non-binary, identify as a fucking tub of goo, whatever.
Shout out to all my goo people out there. What up?
Hey, goo.
What up, goos?
But, like, if you do a bad job, I'm going to call you out on it.
Yeah.
You did a shit job. Sorry.
I think I feel like people now, as you get older, you sort of view, like, the quote-unquote golden years, the silver age of movies you grew up with and movies that, like, kind of molded your morality and, like, choices you make and stuff like that. Like, we get it. Like, Star Wars, the new shit was bad. I feel it was bad. Like, George Lucas, I think he might have some buyer's remorse selling his shit off to Disney. I would. I'd rather just do my Shakespearean, like, weird trade arguments, and everybody's like, this shit is boring as fuck, but it's mine. It's mine.
Yeah.
But, like, let's talk about Guillermo. So, Guillermo, he's doing a new movie out of nowhere, Nightmare Alley, which is based on this fucking novel from, like, the 40s. And
that sounds about right for him.
And think about this. This dude comes in. These are like the visionary people. It's like, okay, I'm going to make a movie. I'm taking my influences, stuff that I think is going to make this movie something really special. And I'm going to take like 4 years on this movie. You're not even going to fucking know about it. And then it's going to come out and stand head and shoulders over everything else happening.
Yeah, I'm going to be in my fucking basement writing this shit and not tell anybody about it.
Mm-hmm. But like, guys like Bean Webb, guys like Guillermo, Chris Nolan, Cuaron, you need these dudes. If I was Marvel, honestly, I would get those dudes. Hey, listen, Guillermo, you're a fucking beast. You did Hellboy. Listen, I want to get Fantastic Four back in the MCU. The shit's not supposed to come out for another 4 years. Here's a shit ton of money.
Here is dumb, stupid amounts of money.
I want you to do this movie. Not even that. You know what? I wouldn't even give Guillermo Fantastic Four. I would give somebody like that. You got to give him some goofy shit. Like, something that they're going to see as a challenge. Like, oh, you want me to do X-Men?
Right.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Right? Can you imagine Guillermo doing X-Men? Why the fuck not? Like, now you're in that stage now where, like, you can take risks. You can be experimental and the people are going to follow you. WandaVision was an experiment. It 100% was like,
oh yeah,
a risk.
We're going to throw this at the wall and see if it sticks.
And I feel like if this multiverse shit don't pan out, we're all going to be like, man, WandaVision was like, well, it was cool as fuck, wasn't it? I don't know what the fuck happened after.
WandaVision.
We talked, and if you notice, if you listen to all the Outlier episodes, our style of fiction that we like, the kind of creativity, is all based in risk.
Mm-hmm.
And new shit. Disco Elysium, same thing. Just coming at you from an angle you never even expected. Some shit you never even thought of. Just fucking you up mentally. That's what we like.
Elysium, even when I go back and I listen to, like, even, like, the Danganronpa thing. When you first went and played Danganronpa, you're like, I thought this was going to be, like, a weird, like, dating sim, that kind of thing, and then all of a sudden, just fucking crazy, brutal murder. You know, we like different. You and I like different. We like risk takers. We like, here's this goofy thing that may or may not work. Like, my all-time favorite movie is Fifth Element. I have people that either love the movie, and they'll send me fucking gifs of fucking Mila Jovovich going, multipass, or they've never heard of it. I don't know what the fucking movie is.
You fucking better.
Yeah.
Look this shit
up.
I'm
gonna need you to fucking figure it out. But like, people like us, and I'm not, like, trying to sound elitist. I'm fucking earning all sorts of points tonight.
Black, blackity, black, black.
Black, blackity, black, black.
We're smarter than everybody, Tim. Just say it. We're, like, considerably smarter and have better taste than, like, a lot of people.
I was gonna say. Just wait for, like, somebody to listen to this and take it completely out of context.
Possibly.
But what I'm saying is, like, people like you and I, we do like the risk takers. We do like things that are very, very different. You know, we don't like the Michael, we don't go like the Michael Bay's or like the Nicholas Sparks movies or anything like that. Like, we like, you like Denis Villeneuve. Or like, for me, I like Luc Besson. Or, you know, Nolan's probably the most mainstream director I like. John McTiernan was my favorite for a while, and then he freaking fell off the face of the planet because he was freaking wiretapping people's phones and shit, and he got blackballed from Hollywood.
Yeah. I think, too, like, not to shit on Nicholas Sparks, but, like, there's room for everything. But if you live in a culture where everything is analyzed and scrutinized and fucking broken down to the molecule, you can't let creativity thrive. You know what I mean? Like, they're talking about Venom 2 has a 90-minute runtime, and everybody's like, fuck yeah. I am one of those people who's like, fuck yeah, because these movies are too goddamn long.
Too long.
You have to scale it back. You give me the comfort food. Give me dumb shit. Give me my smart shit. I want it all. But you gotta, you know, if you think about it, when we were doing our critique on Psychosexual, the band.
Psychosexual.
It was always about, dude, you gotta try harder. You can't just come out and be like, down, 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 fuck, and fuck, fuck, fuck. No, you gotta give me something that...
They lie.
Like, we always talked about it. We talked about it last night. I was like, if I don't feel your heart through the screen,
yep,
in the guitar,
I'm out.
And the book,
yep,
get the fuck out of my face.
Yep, I'm out.